Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight this morning, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're starting a new series today called It's in the Bible, Look It Up. This will be through the month of June. And this is going to take us to some scriptures that we might not be as familiar with, maybe stories we had forgotten about, or perhaps scriptures that we might want to forget about because they make us a little bit uncomfortable. But we have to continue to wrestle with scriptures even when they do that. We can't, you know, pick and choose which parts of the Bible we're going to pay attention to. So we're going to be looking at those this month. It should be fun, and hopefully we'll all learn a little bit of something as we go along. We're beginning today with Joshua chapter 10. So a little bit of background on the book of Joshua is written by Joshua himself, except for the last like five verses that kind of sum up his death and legacy. But you'll remember that Joshua was the successor to Moses, and he led the people, the Israelites, across the Jordan, and he captured and settled the land of Canaan, and he created the 12 tribes of Israel. Joshua was a good leader. He was courageous. He was faithful to God. And throughout the book, we get some really amazing scriptures that help us to remember of that faithfulness and to help us to have courage and faith in situations where we might feel like we're a little weak or that we need some help. We get Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think everybody here, because of the WLC, will never forget that verse, right? And that's a good one to always have in your pocket. We also get Joshua 24:15, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we also, in Joshua, get some things that might make us a little bit of uncomfortable. There's battles, right? Battles that show some violence that was fought on the behalf of, sanctioned by, and even commanded by God. And it's one of those battles that we look at today where there is this supernatural event that is difficult for us to understand or comprehend or possibly even believe that it happened. Joshua is facing a battle, and he desperately needed more time. If he only had more hours in the day, he thought his army could finish this battle and defeat the enemy. I'm sure at some point in your life you have wished for more time, right? You have said, oh, if I only had a few more hours in the day. I know I have always secretly wished for like a secret day between Saturday and Sunday where the world just kind of stood still and I could get all my stuff done and then carry on. But it never occurred to me to pray for the sun to stand still. Probably never thought about that either. But that's exactly what Joshua did. He thought, God, I just need a few more hours of daylight to finish this battle. And he prayed for the sun to stand still. And it did. The day the sun stood still. That's what we're going to talk about today. It's this sort of outrageous request that Joshua makes. So for a little bit of background, in chapter 9, we're going to look at 10. In chapter 9, we have the story of the Gibeonite deception. So the Gibeonites lived near, and they kind of covered themselves with old clothes and dirt to make them look, to make themselves look weak, like they, you know, were struggling. And they went to Joshua, and they were like, "Hey, how about instead of fighting us and defeating us, we'll serve you." And so they came to Joshua to make this peace accord, and he accepts it without going to God about it, and really going against the wishes that the Lord had already given him, going against the instructions the Lord had already said. He accepts this peace accord from the Gibeonites. And so now Ai and the Gibeonites are joining Israel, and these five kings saw that that was happening, and so they decide that they're going to attack Gibeon. And so the troops of the five kings surround the Gibeonites, and because they had made this peace accord with Joshua and they were under Israel's protection, they call out to Joshua, they send word, and they're like, "Hey, remember us? You said that we were going to be in peace. We're allies now. You have to come and protect us from these armies of these five kings." And so now Joshua is in a little bit of a pickle because he has to go have this huge battle with these five armies. And he gets word from the Lord not to be afraid, that the Lord would give them victory. And so the Israelites surprised the armies. They put their entire effort into the battle. And God threw the five armies into confusion. He threw down hailstones and killed many of them, really before the battle even began. But darkness was coming, and Joshua still needed more time. And so that's when he prays this prayer for the sun to stand still. So that's a little background going into chapter 10 here, verses 4 through 14. "Come up and help me, and let us attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the Israelites. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and camped against Gibeon and made war against it. And the Gibeonites sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, 'Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who live in the hill country are gathered against us.' So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the fighting force with him, all the mighty warriors. The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not fear, for I have handed them over to you. Not one of them shall stand before you.' So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal, and the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who inflicted a crushing blow on them at Gibeon, chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And they fled before Israel while they were going down the slope of Beth Horon. The Lord threw down huge stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones and the Israelites killed with the sword. On the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord, and he said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon.' And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in mid-heaven and did not hurry to set about for a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since, when the Lord heeded a human voice, for the Lord fought for Israel." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Lord fought for Israel. Joshua's unwavering trust in God is a central theme of really the whole book, but particularly of this chapter. When he is faced with the overwhelming odds, Joshua held on to that promise of God, knowing that he was going to be with them and would bring them victory. And so as believers, we too have these promises of God, that God fights for us, that he will not leave or forsake us, that he provides for us, that he works all things together for our good. Trusting in these promises can enable us to face those giants, those dark times, those hard things in our life, because we know that God is faithful. Part of the lesson for me here in this scripture is that Joshua took this ridiculous request to the Lord for the sun to stand still, because it sounds pretty outrageous. It's outside the realm of possibilities, right? That the sun would stand still. Over the years, I have asked God to do some pretty amazing things. I have prayed faithfully for things to happen, or for people to be healed, or for changes to be made. But I never, ever now, I realize after reading the scripture, have prayed for something as outside the box as the sun to stand still, right? I have always prayed for things that were still within the realm of possibility. And this scripture convicts me that I have limited God to my imagination. I have limited God to what I believe is possible, rather than believing that with God all things are possible. So this God that I've represented, the God whose glory that I want to show, has been limited, held back. I learned from Joshua here that I should be expecting more. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 20 tells us that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. But I've limited God to my imagination. I'm like that disciple in the boat who steps out onto the water, and I want to believe that God can do the impossible and help me to walk as he did. But I go, oh no, and then I start to fall, because that can't really happen, right? That's not really possible. Joshua is a reminder of the immeasurably more than we can imagine. The prayer of Joshua is a move mountains kind of prayer. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you." Earlier this week, as I was had been praying about the scripture and preparing the sermon, everybody around me in my house started to get sick. It's this terrible stomach virus. Has anybody else been hit by the stomach virus over the last couple of weeks? It was really nasty. So Penny got it, and then Emma got it, and then Steve and Grace got it, and then Johnny got it. And as I'm have all of these people around me, and of course I'm mom, so I'm like trying to clean up after them and take care of everybody, and I'm like, oh Lord, please don't let me get this virus. Because, you know, I have things to do, and I have to preach this Sunday, and Mike is gone, and I was just sick with that, like, head cold flu, and I don't have time to be sick. I don't have time to be sick, but these viruses are so contagious, right? And so, to me, praying not to get sick was just as impossible as Joshua praying for the sun to stand still. And I didn't get sick, so praise the Lord, right? Yeah. I mean, I didn't just pray. I also walked around with a can of Lysol in my hand the whole week. But that's part of it too, right? We have to have actions to go along with our prayers. But we can't put God in a box. We can't put our own limitations on what we think is possible or what we think is realistic on God. And so I was continuing to think about, you know, okay, I'm praying to not get sick, which seems pretty miraculous, but, you know, what else? Like, regarding the church, what is the prayer? What is the huge prayer that I could pray that if we trusted the Spirit and if we unleashed the power of God and the Holy Spirit on our lives and in our hearts and in this church? And so I prayed for this whole room to be filled for worship and for the other sanctuary as well. And I walked through the other space, and I walked through this space, and I touched every chair, and I touched every pew, and I prayed for the people who might be sitting there, and for the children who might come, and for the families who are needing to hear the word of God, and for the people that need to be made whole, for all of the people that need to know of God's love that are right here all around us, that they would hear God's call. And I prayed for us that we would have the boldness and the courage to reach out to them and to tell them about the amazing things that God has done for our lives and in this place. I don't know how God will answer that prayer or when God will answer that prayer or what it will look like, but because Joshua asked the sun to stand still, I know that I'm not afraid to pray that prayer. Now, am I just going to pray for it and not do anything else? Nope. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to do my part. And that's the other part of the lesson that I think we get from Joshua. In addition to making these outrageous prayer requests and not putting any limits on God about what we think is possible or realistic, he also had action. His faith was not passive. He marched all night into that battle with his army. They received word and they sprang into action and marched for probably 25 miles all night for a surprise attack on the five armies of the kings. There's a saying that says, pray as if everything depends on God and work as if everything depends on you. I don't see how Joshua could have either prayed or sprung into action with more intensity. To believe that God could make the sun stand still is an act of faith that is famous millennia later. And to march all night and fight with five armies is just about as outstanding of an action. Faith without action is incomplete. And so we are called to step out in faith, trusting that God will guide our steps, that God will provide the resources that we need. And it might mean stepping way out of our comfort zones, taking risks, making sacrifices, going all in. But when we step out in faith, we position ourselves for God's miraculous intervention and victory in our lives. Just as Joshua and the Israelites experienced that miraculous victory, we too can experience God's mighty hand in our lives when we trust Him and when we step out in faith and when we expect the unexpected. This story of the sun standing still is important to us because we need to realize that God stepped up and God did this amazing thing all because Joshua asked Him to. God is telling us that He is powerful enough to do whatever needs to be done, anything that needs to be done, even if it's more than we can imagine. In Joshua's day, God made the sun stand still, and it gave His people victory. And there was another day that the sun refused to shine. From the sixth hour, from the ninth hour, there was darkness in the land, and it was the day that Jesus died on the cross. And it is on that day that God gave you victory. God can do anything, from parting the Red Sea to raising the dead from the grave, causing the sun to stand still in the sky. But the most powerful thing that He has ever done is to raise Jesus from the dead, to give us hope for an eternal life. God can do anything, and He has already done so for you. Let us pray. God, we ask that You would give us the faith that is not hindered or limited by our own imagination or what we believe is possible. We ask that You would give us a faith of intensity that doesn't limit You or put You in a box, but that allows Your Spirit to fully overcome us, so that we might be bold and step out in that faith and take action and tell people about Your amazing victories. Your victory on the field that day for Your people of Israel, but Your victory of salvation for each one of us, that we are saved through the power of Jesus Christ, and what that does for us in our lives and what it can do for other people. God, we ask that You would give us a spirit of boldness, that we could step out to pray things that we can't even imagine and to do things that would call people closer to You, that we would live our lives in such a way that people are invited to know Your power. We thank You, God, for Your promises of faithfulness, for the way that You stood by Joshua that day, and for the way that You stand by each of us each and every day to help us fight our battles. We thank You for these amazing gifts, God. And as we come to Your table today, we thank You for the gift of Jesus, that we might remember the grace that we experience through You, and that when we take the bread and take the cup, we recall the price that was paid for us to experience Your salvation, and to be called to live with You forever. We pray in Christ's name.